Okay, welcome to the last daf of Maseches Beitza, Beitza Daf Mem, and we are up to the Mishnah on Lamed Tesh, base 3 lines to the bottom. But just one thought that I mentioned yesterday that I would say that you can't pass by and not mention this idea. Again, part of it we mentioned before, part of it might be new. The Gemara yesterday quoted the Mishnah. The Gemara there was talking about if you have a bor, if you have a water cistern in the middle of the road for the Olei Bavel, is that considered owned by everybody? Is that considered owned by nobody? So the Mishnah had said that the Dvarim Shel Olei Bavel are mutter for everybody, meaning it's not called Shel Shutfin, and therefore the Mishnah said somebody who is Mudur Hana'a Zemizeh, they're still allowed to get water from the cistern, because they could assume, based on Breira, that they're getting their own water. So that's the source of that is the Mishnah. So the Mishnah in Darim Daf Mem Zayin and Mem Ches, and our Gemara quotes the Mishnah except for the last two words. I just wanted to say a thought on the last two words of the Mishnah, which is really not quoted. The Mishnah there says that if two people Aser Hana'a from each other, so then they're not allowed to get benefit from the street or the bathhouses, or, our Gemara continues quoting Beis HaKnesses, but then, it might be because our Gemara doesn't have the Girsa, this is on Lama Tesma Beis, but then the Mishnah has Vahateva Vahasvarim, the Bima and the Svarim. The Svarim of the Shul are also, of the city, are also usher to each other, because you assume the Svarim are owned jointly by the people. Everybody has a chalik in the sefer, and therefore nobody, neither of them could use it. So ask the Rashba that we have a principle, mitzvos lav lahenos nitnu. So mitzvos are not given for the hana. So therefore, you know, even if I'm mudra hana from a mikvah, I'm allowed to jump in during the winter season. Why? Because I'm not getting any benefit. Because I'm getting tar. That's not called a hana. And, you know, the Gemara applies this principle in various places. Mitzvos lav lahenos nitnu. So why is it that if I'm mudra hana from a city, so I'm not allowed to learn the svarim? Mitzvos lav lahenos nitnu. So therefore, the Rashba takes out the Gersa. The Rashba says, take out the word svarim. Maybe that's like Argamar. Argamar doesn't quote the last two words of the Mishnah. Doesn't quote the word svarim. But Rav Avraham min Ha'har, one of the less known Rishonim here, but this is probably one of his most famous lines. Rav Avraham min Ha'har says in that Mishnah, no, this mitzvah is different. The Yesh Lomar lav kushihi delo shayich taima de mitzvos lav lahenos nitnu ela be mitzvah shi tluya be maisa. Mitzvah lahenos nitnu applies to other mitzvos, not the Talmud Torah. Mitzvah lahenos nitnu. Shiksha adam osa osa einon miskavin ludvar hana. When you do a mitzvah, you don't have kavana for the hana. Sheina osa osa lahanaz gufo elalasos mashin stava meis Hashem. Aval mitzvahs limud. When it comes to Talmud Torah, shehu inyan tsiur haleiv yedias haemes. Right, Talmud Torah is about getting to the MS. Ikar hatzivui. Litzayer haemes ulehis aneg v'lehanos b'mada l'sameach levavo v'sichlo. An ikar ingredient of Talmud Torah is the enjoyment that you get from it. As it says, p'kudei Hashem misharim misamchei lev. Ikar mitzvaso hi hahana'a v'hatainug b'mashem masig u'mevim b'limudo. So if somebody does not get enjoyment from Talmud Torah, so we're lacking a piece. Again, this doesn't mean every single second that I learn, I'm going to have to be basking and loving it. Sometimes learning is difficult. Sometimes we have to have a melus and we have to struggle a little bit. But in general, hana'a in Talmud Torah plays an integral role, different than any other mitzvos. And he says you don't apply the principle of mitzvos avahenos dinu when it comes to Talmud Torah. That's Rav Avraham min Ha'har. And there's always one or two other makaris that are quoted this Rav Avraham min Ha'har. Yeah?
That's why
you're not allowed to learn Torah at Tisha B'Av and during Shiva. What? Right, other mitzvos you could do, right? You're not allowed to do other ta'anugim, but other mitzvos you could do, right? But when it comes to learning, mitzvos on lav lehenos nitnu does not apply, because an ikar part of Talmud Torah is the nitan lehenos. So what's usually quoted with this Rav Avraham min Ha'har is the Hakdama to the Eglei Tal, where the Eglei Tal says, the Sacha Shavu Rebbe, in his Sefer on Hilcha Shabbos, he quotes, he says, Umidei dabri bo, zacharis karenu, quoting Yirmiyahu, Masha shamati ksas b'nei adam. I've heard people toin midarach haseichel. I've heard people who make a mistake about from the logical path, be'inyalim Torah hakadosha, and they say ki alominu b'chadish kiddushim umis anig b'limudo Kimo, he says, it's, if you get enjoyment when you learn, it's not as much lishma as somebody who hates learning, basically, or somebody who just learns and says, I'm doing it because Hashem told me to learn it. I don't really enjoy it, but I'm doing it l'shem shamayim. He says, that's the highest level. So he says, ube'emes ze ta'us mefursum. This is a basic public mistake. The adaraba, kizehi ikar mitzvos limud haTorah liosas uvesameach umisanig b'limudo. If we enjoy when we learn, then it gets into our blood. It doesn't. It's not just a ma'aseh mitzvah that we do. He says that is totally limud haTorah lishma. Chas v'shalom. What should you think otherwise? And then he quotes the Rambam. But that's why the Mishnah Nedarim says that even the svarim, because the svarim, you don't say regular rules of mitzvah avahedosinu when it comes to svarim. And just one more makar, and then we will begin. And that is. This one is not as much quoted when they quote the Eglei Tal and when they quote the Arav and Ahar, and that's the Stipler. The Stipler, the Kilos Yaakov and Brachas, the Zimnachav Beis, this has the discussion, sorry, that I think we touched on maybe back in Brachas, and that is Birchas HaTorah. What type of Bracha is Birchas HaTorah? So it's usually, you know, the Chakir is stated, Machlokas the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra, many different Nafkaminas, whether it is a Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas HaTorah might be a Birchas HaMitzvah in the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. A, that might be why the Rambam does not quote Birchas HaTorah as a separate Mitzvah Saseh, unlike the Ramban. Or you might say Birchas HaTorah is Shevach V'Hodah. It's Shevach, it's going to be praise to Hashem. L'asob b'divrei Torah, v'harev no Hashem Elokeinu. It's all Shevach, b'achar banu mikol ha'amim. So says the Stipler, maybe another idea. Based on this Eglei Tal, based on this Rav Nahar, maybe Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas HaNehenin. Birchas HaNehenin, Brachan Hana. He says, why would it be a bracha on Hana, Birchas HaTorah being a Birchas HaNehenin? What an unusual concept. He says, how do you know when something is a Birchas HaNehenin and when something is a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah? So says Birchas HaMitzvah. How do you know if something is Birchas HaMitzvah? How do you know if something is Birchas HaNehenin? So he says, V'nira shekei muchach minusach ha-brachos. He says, al ha-mitzvos mevarchat asher k'nishanu b'pesos v'sivanu, al ha-maisa ha-mitzvah. Every Birchas HaMitzvah has a focus on the Maisa Mitzvah, on the Tilas Lulav, Lishmoa Kol Shofar, Lahadlik Nir Shel Chanukah. It's all on the Maisa HaMitzvah. While Birchas HaNehenin focuses on the object, Borei Mine Mizonos, right? Osei Maaseh Breishis. All the Birchas, he says, by mitzvah, it's the ifcha, it's the opposite. Right, we don't say Birchas HaNehenin, Lechol, whatever. It's Borei Mine, or Shehakol Nei Ben Varo. Al Chefsa Shebaro HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Borei Pri Ha'et, Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. V'chei Kulam, it's all on the Chefsa. So in the morning, what do we say? We have two brachas. Number one, we have Asher K'Nishanim, Zav Zivon, La'asok B'Divrei Sora. So La'asok, that's on the Ma'isa HaMitzvah. So that's a Birchas HaMitzvah, says the Stipler. But the second one, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim, but also known as Taraso. That's like a Birchas HaNehenin. That's the form of a Birchas HaNehenin. Says the Stipler, it's a Birchas HaNehenin. Right, and that connects to the Eglei Tal and connects to Rav Ben Ahar. But again, that's the radical Shita. It's a beautiful Shita, but that belongs in the Birchas HaTorah discussion of, now you have three different ways. How to view Birchas HaTorah? Is it Shevach V'Hodah? Is it Birchas HaMitzvah? Is it Birchas HaNehenin? Okay, it might be different types of Shevach V'Hodah, but that is all related to the Mishnah that the Gemara quoted yesterday from Nedarim Daf Mem Ches, where the Mishnah says at the end of that Mishnah that if we're Mudr Hana Zeh Mizeh, so then we cannot use even the svarim of the shul, and you do not apply the principle of mitzvos alvahenos nidu. Okay, let's go to the second to last Mishnah of Maseches Beis. Says the Mishnah, Misha hayu peirosa be'ir acheres. Let's say you have, the previous Mishnah had said that all of my property is subject to my tchum, and then wherever my tchum is, that's where my fruit and my property goes from. So Misha hayu peirosa be'ir acheres. So now you have a difficult case, because I am in one city and my fruit is in another city, and I did not make a tchum, so my fruits are considered really out of the tchum, so they can't move. Just like if I would have gone outside of my 2,000 amos by mistake or on purpose, by mistake I'm not allowed to move. I can't move out of my 4,000 amos. So too. If I have fruit that rested outside of my tchum, it's the same kind of din, and they can't be moved. But what happens if the Irvu Bnei Osa Ha'ir, the Bach adds in, Lavo Etzlo? But the people of that city knew that these were my fruits, so they made an Erev Tchum in order to bring me my fruits, to bring me my fruit on Yantif. So the Halacha is, Lo Yaviu Lo Mi Perosav. They're not allowed to bring me my fruit. Why? Because my fruit, I was not Kona Shvisa here for my fruit, and that fruit was outside of my Tchum. Lo yaviu lo. Viv irev hu perosav kamo. But if I made an erev tchumin in order to be able to get my fruits, then fine, my fruits are like me. Number two, Misha Zimin, that's for Archim. If somebody invites guests over for Yantif, lo yalichu biyada manos. So after the meal, and you're sending them home, and you want to give them a doggy bag, they're not allowed to take your food that's now, that's their leftovers. They can't take it home with them because this food is subject to your tchum, the host's tchum. And they're going to try to take it to their city, which is their tchum, but that's not allowed because it was yours when Yontif started and when Shabbos started. Ela im kain, unless zicha lahen manoseyan me'erev Yontif. Unless you were mezaka them in the food from before Yontif, you went over to somebody else, Rashi explains. The Rashba says maybe you can even do this b'machshava. But the Pasha says you did this b'maisa. You went over to somebody else and said be mezaka this for somebody else, and that's the principle of zachim la'adam shalabafanav. I can be mezaket somebody before Shabbos and Yantif, so it's like theirs. So if it's like theirs already, so that's why it would go by their tchum, as long as you did this before Yantif. Okay, so that is the issue of guests. We did discuss a number of times in the past, not recently, but a number of times, that is, what's the halacha when somebody puts food in front of you, when you are a guest at somebody's house, and they put food in front of you, at that moment, whose food is it? Is it still the host's food, and now you're eating it? Or at the very moment that it's put in front of you on your plate, is that now your food? That was a discussion in Eben HaEzer, where the Ramah discusses, can I be Mekadesh a woman with the meatballs, I didn't say meatballs, but the meatballs that were put in front of me, can I take it to be Mekadesh a woman now? Meaning, is it my food or not? So the Ramah has a discussion of that. The Chachma Shlomo on the side of the Shulchan Aruch has a discussion of that. Maybe you'd be mechalek between having a single portion and a double portion. Maybe mechalek between taking less than what you normally would have eaten. All different distinctions. But either way, even if you want a hold of the shita, that is your food once you get it, but still not going to work here. Because at the start of Shabbos and Yontif, it wasn't your food. That's why you have to be mezaket from before Shabbos and Yontif. So this Mishnah doesn't even get into that discussion of whose it is once you get it. Yeah.
That's a kasha with the bottle cap.
That's a kasha with the bottle cap, right? The shiloh, the sheva brachas. If somebody, right, we discussed the shiloh then, that if somebody opens up a bottle cap at a sheva brachas and he sees he wins under the bottle cap. So who wins? Does the owner win or does the guy who drank it? So you might also be mechalik there because that's a serving bottle. A serving bottle versus a personal bottle. Serving bottle might for sure be the host's. But again, that relates also to the Sfasemis in Sukkah Taflamin Hey, who says you have to have matzah niz lachem. So when you get it, you know, are you eating your own matzah or is it still the host? Either way, so all that is a wonderful topic, but we don't get into that in this Mishnah. Because here it has to be yours from before Yantif, not on Yantif.
Well,
so
you're
so let's see. So says the Mishnah says that you can't take it home. Rashi says, why would you want to take it home? In two words in Rashi that bother the Mefarshim. Top line in Rashi. Rashi says, you can't take it home after your meal. L'se'udas halayla. End of the first line. You can't take it home for the Sudas halayla, the night meal, meaning second night of Yantif. Asks the Rishash, what's Rashi talking about? It's Hachana. Forget the issue of taking it outside the Tchum. You can't take it home for your night meal. It's Hachana. I'm going to prepare for one day of Yantif to the next day. What does it mean Shabbos? And you made an Erev Tavshilin? So you're preparing from Yantif to Shabbos? That's one possibility. But the Rishash doesn't know. Isn't it Hachana? So the Chasam Sofer suggests that maybe what Rashi means is like the Shita of the Rambam. That the Rambam holds what? The Rambam holds says you have to have Shal Shudis on Yantif. You have to have Shal Shudis on Yantif. We don't paskin that way. Everybody paskins that, not doesn't really paskin that way, but everybody tries to hold that way the last day of Pesach. By the Sudash HaMashiach. Misnagdim and Chasidim both have Sudash HaMashiach. Right? So that's the Baruch Hashem. We have Achtos on the last day of Pesach. So that's based on the Rambam. One day a year we hold like the Rambam. That Shal Shudis on Yantif. Well, we don't have Shal Shudis on Yantif. We only have Shal Shudis on Shabbos. But maybe that's what Rashi means. Sudas Erev means the same day, but it just means later in the day. It doesn't sound that way. It sounds like Sudas Erev sounds like nighttime Suda. So this Rashi is a basis for the Chayyadam. Which Chayyadam and Rav Shlomo Zalman also quotes. It's a very important Shita. Right? Many times, the following Shiloh comes up. I'm going to another shul for Shabbos morning. I have an offer there. Then I'm going to come back home. Am I allowed to bring my talos back? Or do I have to leave my talos in the other shul and go get it after Shabbos? Ah, it's a chana. I'm going to bring it back to my shul. Right? Am I allowed to do that? Or if I finish shaking my lulav and esrog right on the first day of Yantif, or the second day of Yantif, what am I going to do? I put it back in the place. I put it back in the fridge. Put it back in the whatever. Ah, chana. Leave it on the table. Right? So you might say it might get kamush. It might get wilted now. But anyway, all these kinds of shaila. Says the Chayyadam. There is no isser of achana if the davar, if the act that you're doing is not really any tercha. If what you're doing is not really any tircha, it's just a maisa hava, you're just bringing something, you're not finishing a job, you're not really, that's not called preparing. That's the Chayyadim writes this in Hilchas Shmini Atzeres. Because the Mishnah, if you remember, says, at the end of Shmini Atzeres, in Galus, what are you allowed to do? You're allowed to take the kelim out of your sukkah and bring it into your house before nighttime. Why are you allowed to do that? Hachana. Why are you allowed to bring the kelim out of your sukkah? We added the Mishnah at the end of Mesechta Sukkah. Says the Chayyadim, Hava'o Abeso lo havi achana. And he says, this is in Kufnun Gimel, Bechein Pirish Rashi, Bebeso Daf Mem. Right, the last daf in Mesechta Beitza, he says, that's what you see. So he says, it's not called achana in this case. He then limits it, though, with three limitations. Number one, you're only allowed to do it Letzorach Mitzvah. Only if you have a real need, Letzorach Mitzvah, you're allowed to do this. Number two, it should not be Nikar that you are doing this for tomorrow. So when I bring my talus home from the other shul, that's not Nikar. I'm bringing my talus home so I can have it next Shabbos. I'm bringing my talus home. It's not you know, it's not a thing. And number three, she's trying to do it in an unusual way. That's what he says. Shleivu kederach shenosei b'chol. I don't know. You carry it in your left hand. I think hotzah doesn't matter. Hotzah doesn't matter. Left and right. The Mishnah said in Shabbos that it's the same thing. That's not called a shinui. But either way, that's why the derech ha'od, the minag ha'olam, and the halacha is to be meko. One is allowed to bring their talis home from another shul or something like that because. That is, it's not called a hachana. It's not called a hachana. And this is what Rishon Lezalman paskens in the Shmir Shabbos. Very important halacha in Shmir Shabbos. Chaf ches pe aleph. Again, this is not exactly like our case here, but this is an extension of that. Kol davar she'ein ba'asiyaso mishum tircha. Any act that is not really a tircha, bothersome. V'gam regilum la'asoso mi'beli lachshov al to'ela she'asiyaso. Here he adds one point. And generally, we don't think about it that this is called hachana. We just do it. Mutar lasosa b'Shabbos, gamim teitzei me'asiyaso zu to'elos li'mosachol. Even if it's going to help you. And that's why you're allowed to bring your talis home from the other shul. That's why if you're learning something, you can put the sefer back on the shelf. Right? You don't need it there, so you're allowed to put it back on the shelf. Or you're allowed to put the dalet mina back in the fridge. And he brings many other examples as well for this halacha. Meaning not only, right, you might say that some of these are mutar because that's not called achara, that's called finishing what you did. When finishing learning, you put the sefer back. That's not called getting ready. But even if you want to say it's in the world of achana, still it's not a problem of achana because it's lav tircha klal. So this Rashi is quoted where Rashi says l'seudas laila. Okay, let us now continue. So getting back to Yoni's question, and that is, what if the guests knew beforehand that they were coming? What if they knew that they were coming? So the Rashba asked that, and he says maybe it still wouldn't make a difference here because they still don't know what portion they're getting. They don't know what portion they're going to get. By a case, and this is Tosfos' discussion and the Rishonim's discussion, by a case of a shoel, remember two daf ago? We had the case of a shoel. If I know I'm going to borrow something, that even if I didn't actually borrow it on Yontif, it still goes by my tchum. Why? Because it's... Because I know exactly what I'm going to get on Yontif. But here, the guests don't know what they're going to get. And we're not going to rely on Brera. Not everybody holds a Brera. So it says, because of that, then and they don't even know if they're going to have anything left over. Even if they would know their portion. Maybe they're going to finish everything. They don't know if they're going to have leftovers to take home. So that is why this case is not comparable to a case of She'ela. Because it is the difference between the She'ela getting... And maybe that's what Tosfos means. In the last line of the top Tosfos, the Shoel daiti tfei akli me archim almanos. The Shoel has more connection to his kli that he's going to get, so even if he doesn't get it before Yontif, he's thinking about it more than guess for the portions that they are going to get. Okay, Gemar. Itmar. Hamafket peiros esach haveiro. If I give fruit to my friend to watch... I didn't speak to him about specifics. I just said, here, hold my fruit. Let's assume that's the case here, because that's going to make the Havamina work better. I just gave you some of my fruit and said, here, take my fruit. I didn't make arrangements for you. Are you a type of shomer? I just gave you my fruit. So what's the halacha? I do that before Yontif. So whose tchum does that go by? So Rav Amar Krag, Mishif Kidu Etzlo. Rav says it goes by the one who's guarding it. Mishif Kidu Etzlo. Ushwol Amar Krag, Mafkid. Ushwol says, no, it goes by the Mafkid. The one who gave it. Mafkid. Because, right, as we say in Mesechta Mitzia, Kol Hecha De'isa Bershus Demari Isa. Wherever something is, it really belongs to the one who owns it. And that's why Bershus Mafkid it goes by. Lema Rav Shmuel to Azlo Tamayu. Let's say Rav Shmuel go Lashitaso. Ditzan the Mishnah says, Im Hechnes Bershus Balachotzer Chayiv. Let's say I have fruit. And I ask you, can I put my fruit in your yard? And you say, sure you can. So let's say it goes into your yard. Reuven asks Shimon, can I put it into your yard? And Shimon says, sure. And then, after it's in the yard, Shimon's animals go and eat the fruit. So is Shimon responsible? He didn't say explicitly, sure, and I'll guard them, and I'll protect them. All he said was, yeah, sure, go right ahead. So that's a machlokas. Do we assume that by saying, please go right ahead, that means he's going to watch it? That's a machlokas. So the Tanakhama there says, im hechlis bershus, if he brought it in with rishus, with permission, bal ha-chatzar chayiv. So the owner of the chatzar is chayiv to guard it, and if damages happen, then he has to pay for it. Rebbe Omer, la'olam eino chayiv, achakiba olav balabais lishmar. No, Rebbe says, no, I was doing you a favor. You want to put it there? Yeah, fine, but I didn't say that I was going to guard it. They're protected. So therefore, I'm not chayiv unless I accepted it explicitly. And Rav holds like the Tanakhama. And Shmuel said the halacha was like Rebbe. So Lema, so let's say that this is the same machlokes. Lema Rav to Amar Karabanan. Let's say Rav, in our case, Rav says that the tchum goes by the shomer, the guy who got the fruit. So you see, he's a real significant person. And therefore, so too over here, over there, by Baba Kama, Rav holds like the Rabbanan, and therefore, just like and Rashi explains in the first skinny lines, Halakha Rabbanan Dekaimi Bershusi Linin Shmira, Huadin Letchumen. I'm sorry, I said it the opposite way, that the, just like over here, I'm sorry, just like Rav says, the Gemara suggests that Rav holds like the Rabbanan over there, like the Tanakhama, because he did not accept Rishus to put it into the chatzar, but not to guard it. So too, that's Lashita. So here, Ushmuel to Amar Karebi, and maybe Shmuel, who says in our case, Karagli Hamafkid, holds like Rebbe, that it still retains, it's more connected to the original owner. So just like in our case, it goes by the tchum of the original owner, so too in that case, the original owner is really responsible for guarding it, and the Baal HaChatzar is not responsible. So do you say it's the same Shita? So Amar Lecha Rav, so the Gemara says, no, there's a big difference between the cases. Each one could go by the opposite Shitas. Amar Lecha Rav, Ano Da'ami Afil LeRebbe. Rav, in our case, who says it goes by the one who actually has the fruit, could even go like Rebbe in that case, who says that the Baal HaChatzar is not responsible. Ad Kan Lekamar Rebbe Hasam. When does Rebbe say that over there, he does not accept responsibility to protect the fruit, because over there he didn't accept to watch it. He said, here, please, put it into my yard. But he didn't say anything more than that. What happens here? I say to you, here, please watch my fruit. What does it say? Mafkid peiros etzlo. So the Gemara says that could be a case where you know I gave it to you to guard. Don't compare the cases. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says the opposite. Anat Ami Filo Rabbanan. Shmuel doesn't have to hold like the other Shita. Shmuel can hold like the Rabbanan. Ad Kalakam Rabbanan Hasam. When did the Rabbanan over there say that if you bring it into my Rishus, I don't automatically have to guard it? So that's only over there. Why? El Denichale Le'enish Denekim Turei Bershusei Debal Chatzer Di Mazik Le'lo Machayev. Because a person, you know, is happy sometimes to have his stuff in your field, even knowing that you're not responsible. No, I just need a place to put it. I need some room in my yard, in my house. So I'm happy, that's enough. So that's why you're allowed to say that case is a case where the Baal HaChatzar did not accept responsibility. Aval hacha, minichale le'inish to leken peir b'shus et achavrei. I'm specifically giving you the peiros to watch. So of course, the halachas would not be parallel, and therefore Shmuel can still say karagli hamafkin. I still want to own them. I gave you to guard them, but I still want to own them, and therefore I'm going to want to use them maybe on Shabbos and Yontif, and that's why the tchum will go by my tchum. So what the Gemara do so far? It tried to say there's a parallel between Rav and Shmuel, and the Gemara said no such parallel. Tanan, 5 lines from where they get white. Says our Mishnah, V'mi revhu peirosav kamohu. What did our Mishnah say? That if my fruit is in another city, so if I make an Erev Tchum, so then my fruit could go by me, as long as they're within my Tchum now, within the extension of 2,000 amos. So ask the Gemara, 1 second. V'i amrit karagli mishif kidu etzlo. But if you say, like Rav said, Rav says, fruit goes by the person who's watching it. So here, so what that you made a Tchum, you made an Erev Tchum in, the fruit should go by whoever's watching it, whoever's house it's in the other city. So ki'i rev hu, my havi. So who cares that he made an Erev? It should go by Misha Hufkud Etzlo. So Amrav Huna, you're right, but this is a special case. Amri, Bei Rav Kagoshi, Yichelo Karen Zavis. Our case is where really nobody is specifically guarding it. The person in the other city had put it in a corner. and designated it to the original owner. It's not just in their house normally where he's guarding it, like a pikadon, but he had put it in a separate corner. And Rashi's lashon here is he did not accept achrayus on it. So if anything happens, he's not responsible. He put it in a separate corner. The Rashba's lashon is that no, he quotes Rashi, he says, no, maybe even if he did accept achrayus on it. But even so, if he put it in a different corner, it's not like, it's not in the category of Mishuv could do etzlo. It could still go by the tchum of the original owner. Tashma, next try, next line of the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? That if I was mezakeh my friend the food before Shabbos and Yantif, so then it could go by his tchum. So same kasha. Right, even if you say it goes by the person who's guarding it, so what that I was mezakeh my friend the fruit from before Yantif? So what? I'm still watching it, so it should go by my tchum. So Hachanami says the Gemara, two answers. Number one, like we said before, Kibet Zichalahem Aide Acher Kibisha Yichalo Karen Zavistami. Answer number one is because you were mezaked for another person, it's like you that wanted to put it into a corner. Kibisha Yichalo Karen Zavistami, and therefore, you know, you're putting it out of your mind that you're not responsible. Vibayseima Zikashani. Or a second answer is that zichashani. If you're mezake it, then you're pushing it out of your rishus. Rashi says, "Kol atzmo lo asa el lahotzio mishvisaso." So then, that is why we would say that in this case, it would not go by mishif kido eslo, but by the original owner. What exactly is the difference between the two answers? They sound pretty similar. The first case is siyutzi mezake it. It's like yichid, and you know zichashani. It sounds like both of them are basically saying you're doing something to specifically get it out of your rishus to make it considered shel bal hamafkin. So not 100% clear what the answer is. There is a suggestion by the Machane Ephraim, one of the great achronim. Machane Ephraim and Ilcha Shomrim asked the following case. What happens if I am mezakeh somebody a gift, something, I give Reuven something for Shimon, but then Reuven's busy, so he gives it back to me. He gives it back, he says, okay, now you hold on to it. So, do I have a chayiv shmira? Am I chayiv ba'achrayis about this item? He says, "V'imzeshu zicha ba'ar chaveiro lo shlo hayamatsi ba'ir shlo nasehu shomer v'arishus biyada lahachziru liyad ba'ilam harishonim." And he gives it back. If the nasu ha'ba'ilam shomer malav, if the original ba'ilam now are shomrim, because the first guy he assumes is not a shomer. So he says, he says maybe it's totally on these two answers. Because if you're miyached keren zavis, so then you're specifically getting it out of your rishus, and even if you get it back, you were still miyached keren zavis. Masha'enkeit, if you say zicha shiny, maybe if you get it back, that undoes it, and therefore now you have to be makabel achrayus, and you have to watch it. That's his suggestion. But pashtus doesn't seem like such a fundamental difference between these two answers. Okay, Rav Chana bar Chani loy tala bistra be'ivra d'dasha. Rav Chana bar Chani loy got a piece of meat on Erev Yontif, but then he had to go out somewhere, so he hung it on the doorpost of the inn where he was staying. He hung it on the door. Put on the door, and he had in mind to come back later for it. And then on Yontif, he comes back. And he was, let's say he went outside the tchum. So now he comes back, and the question is this, does this meat go by his tchum? He wants to bring it home. Or does it go by the innkeeper's tchum, because it was at the inn? So us, l'kamei de Rav Huna says, Amrlei, i'at talis zil shkil. If you hung it up on the door personally, then you could go take it. The inhu talulacha lo tishkol. But if they had hung it up for you, so then You cannot take it. So he asked the Gemara, V'ihu tala mishakil. But if he himself hung it up, but still, why should he be able to take it? Why did Rav Huna pask in this way? Rav Huna talmud Rav Have. Rav Huna is a talmud of Rav. V'yam Rav karagli mishif kidu eslo. Right. What we've said all along on this amud, that the tchum should go by the person who is guarding the item, and here the item is at the door of the inn, and he's not around. So why should he be able to take it home? Says the Gemara, Shiny Iver the Dashak to Kemisha Yichlo Karen Zavistami. Oh, here, nobody's guarding it. It's outside the door. It's on the doorpost. So this isn't called Misha Hifki to Wetzlo. So that's why it could still go by the original owner, by Chana Bar Chani Lo Yistchum. Amalei Rav Hillel or Rav Ashi, Rav Hillel though still says it's still a problem. Why? Because what was the second half of Rav Huna's comments? The inu talule lo shakil. If he hung it up, he could take it home. But if they hung it up, then they can't take it home. Then he can't take it home. So he says, why not? V'yamar Shmuel, we had a couple of days ago on Daf Lamed Ches. Shmuel said, Shar shal patam, how are you correctly called Adam? If you have a fattener that fattens up animals and then gives it to people on Yontif, so then it goes by the tchum of the people who get it, because you assume that he had these people in mind. So do here. This piece of meat was already his before Yontif, and they designated it for him. So even if they hung it up, why can't he take it home? Or, similar question, Amale Ravina le Ravashi, not only did Rav Hillel ask Ravashi, Ravina turns to Ravashi and says, V'inu talele lo shakil, if they hung it up, he can't take it home. V'yam Rabba bar bar chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, halacha krebi dosa. What do you mean? The halacha krebi dosa, who we had a couple of days ago, who said by the roeh, if there's only one roeh in town, and it's designated that the roeh is going to get it, it goes by the ragle haroeh. The roeh determines the tchum, so to here. If they hug it up for him, it should go by his tchum. Amalei Ravashi the Rav Kahana, the Ravashi says to himself, he says, yeah, you're right. I also have a question on this. V'inu talele lo shakil. If they hung it up, they shouldn't be able to take it. V'hatznan, the Mishnah says, ha-behema v'akilim karagli ba'alim. This belongs to Chana bar Chani Loi. So for the same question, three different ways. Even if the people of the inn hung up this piece of meat, why can Chana, when he comes back, take it home? So Ella says the Gemara, Shani Rav Bar Chani Loi. You're right, the reason that Rav Huna told him he can't take it home has nothing to do with Tchum. Nothing to do with Tchum, because really, Misad Hilchas Tchumin, he should be able to take it home. But what's different about him? Degavar Rabahu, he is a great man, Vitar Bishmaitza. His head is always in learning. He's always tarred. Sometimes he doesn't think about other things. When he's osik in his sugya, he's not thinking about other things. And therefore, the issue here is, Rashi says, Basar Shenis'ali Min Ha'ayin. That's the issue. There's halach in Yerodea that if meat disappears from the eye of a ne'aman person for a certain amount of time, then we might assume that meat was switched either by birds or by other people. So that is why that's what's going on here. V'achin kamarlei, and that's exactly what Rav Huna tells him as follows: I'at talis, if you hung it up, is the chasimana begavei v'lo masata dait chaminei. If you hung it up, then you know exactly what it looked like and how you hung it up, and therefore you'd be able to come back, and that would not be called basar shenis alei min ha'ayin. Or you'd be able to take it because you had a specific simon. So zil shkol, then you'd be able to take it. V'yinu talu l'cha. But if they hung it up for you, you aren't even focused on it. You're in your learning. So then masach. Then you won't be able to take it. Again, not because of Hilchas Tchumin, but because of Hilchas Basar Shenis Aleim Min Ha'ayin. Period. Last Mishnah. Last Mishnah gets back to Hilchas Muksa. Right, we've had this whole parak has been about Erev Tchumin, so we get back to Hilchas Muksa, so hopefully we'll say over at Tzlach, that has a Milsa de Bidichusa, why the Mishnah ends off with Hilchas Muksa. This whole parak is not about Muksa, the Mishnah belongs earlier, but Rabbi Yudanasi saw fit to put it here. Says the Mishnah, a mashkin v'shochtan asa mitbarios. If I have mitbarios animals, which let's translate as wild, undomesticated animals that I don't think about from before Yontif, so I'm not allowed to give them water or shech them on Yontif. So three potential problems here. Either because they were outside the tchum, so maybe that's why they were not in my mind. Number two, it's even if it wasn't a tchum problem, still they weren't in my mind because I thought they were outside. Number three, the Uraim, Rosh Mimet says maybe there's an issue of tzeda here. If they're all the way out, then it's a muktzamach mazisser because I have to trap them on Yantav to use them. So the first line says you're not allowed to give water or shech these midbarios. But I'm allowed to give water and shech baisos, which are more domesticated animals. So what's the definition? Eloin baisos. What are baisos? Halanos be'ir. The ones that sleep in the city at night. Midbarios halanos be'efer. Midbarios are those who don't come back at night. They sleep out in the pasture. They sleep out in the fields. Those are midbarios. Lovely lamemer mashkin v'shochtin. Why does the Mishnah say mashkin? Right, what does water giving them water have to do with anything? The issue is shochtin. There's no malacha to give water, daraisa. Right, it says the Gemara milchse agav of urcha kamashvon. The Mishnah is just teaching you something derech agav. Delishki inish behem tovah delishchar, that a person should give water to their animal before they shecht it. Mishim sircha the mishcha, because it helps, it solves problems with after the shechita. Sircha the mishcha, what does that mean? So Rashi here says, and most Rishonim say that means that it'll be easier to skin the animal if he drinks a lot of water before it shechted. The Rambam here in the Pirush Mishnayis and Rabbeinu Chananel here says, no, it has to do with treifus, that there are less treifus. You know, if it drinks a lot of water beforehand, it like smooths out the lungs, and the water doesn't go into the lungs, but it smooths out the animal inside and makes it easier for Hilchas treifus. Period. Tanu Rabbanon. It says the Tosefta. Elohim Mibarios, Elohim Baisos. So a little more detailed definitions. What's a wild animal and what's a domesticated animal? Midbarios, Koshiyotzes bePesach, Veroos bEifer, VeDechrasas bRaviyashniya. Midbarios, wild animals that are muksa, are animals that you don't see for months. Right? At go Pesach time, they go out into the fields and they stay there and they come back when it starts raining. Right? That's a midbarios. Veilohein baisos, what are baisos? Koshiyotzes, veroos, chus latchum, ubos lanas betochatchum. Animals that always come back to sleep. At least within, close to the city. You see them. That is a baisos. Rebbe Omer, Elohein baisos sein. Rebbe says, no, even if they come back every few months, that's still called a tame domesticated animal. Elohein midbarios. What are the midbarios? Koshiyotzos, veroos, be'efer, ve'ein nechnasos liyishov, lo b'yivasachav, lo b'yivasachshamim. Midbarios are real midbarios. They never come back, unless you're going to bring them back. Those are the ones that are outside the tchum, says Rebbe. Ask the Gemara. Rebbe here is talking about midbarios. Umiyas le Rebbe muksa. Does Rebbe really hold a muksa? That he's explaining what midbarios are. V'habay minei Reb Shimon bar Rebbe. May Rebbe. Reb Shimon bar Rebbe asked his father Rebbe. Patzile tamara le Reb Shimon mahu. If you have patzile tamara, what are patzile tamara? Rashi explains dates that as they're on the tree do not get ripe. So the only way they ripen is if you take them off the tree, you put them into these special baskets, and then they sit there in the baskets and they ripen there. So these patzile tamara, you took them off the tree, you put them in the basket, so they're not really ripe yet. So Reb Shimon asked Rebbe, what are they? So Rebbe answer that according to Reb Shimon, ain muksa l'Reb Shimon, ella grogeres v'simukin belvad. Reb Shimon only agrees with grogeres and simukin, which are the type of food which we mentioned in the past that you put on the roof that are there to be dried out, and in between they become totally putrid. And Rashi explains this is a case of dechia biadayim, right? You push them aside figuratively from your das, and that's what's real muksa. These dates you didn't patzilu tamara, you are in maksa biadayim, you are in matcha biadayim. So therefore, so you don't have to worry about them according to Reb Shimon. So what do you see from there though, that Rebbe is talking within the sheet of Reb Shimon, so he doesn't hold a muksa. So first we have Rebbe talking about our Mishnah, which is a muksa Mishnah, and we have Rebbe talking about Reb Shimon, which is a non-muksa. So what's the answer? So does Rebbe hold a muksa or not? So just by the way, the Ritva points out in Shabbos, why did the Gemara answer like we did on Daf Beis? Can't forget, we're on the last few lines of Mesechta Beitza. Remember the first few lines? The Gemara said maybe there's a chilek between Shabbos and Yontif when it comes to muksa. Maybe we'll be more machmir, Rav Nachman said on Daf Beis. Maybe we'll be more machmir regarding Yontif because Asilu Zazule Bey than Shabbos. So, but again, the Ritva says it doesn't seem like Rebbe was machalik. Maybe Rav Nachman had that chiddush to be machalik between Shabbos and Yontif. But simple that we won't be machalik. So what do you say? Does Rebbe hold a muksa or not? So the Gemara gives three answers. Number one, maybe these dates that you put in the basket, it's just like putting the fruit on top of the roof. It's also like grogos v'simukin. It was also like techiya be'adayim. Number two is, in each case, maybe he wasn't really holding of that shita. When he discussed Reb Shimon, it wasn't like he held like him. He was explaining Reb Shimon, but he doesn't hold like him. Explaining our Mishnah, maybe he really holds like Reb Shimon, but he's just explaining according to the Rabbanan. Lidi di ein muksa. According to me, I don't hold anything as muksa. See, even these midbarios are mutter. Elo lid chubit, according to you, who hold like Rabbi Yehuda, oduli miyas hecha de yotzis veroz bepezaf and achlafs bevi rishona de baisos heim. But according to you, at least admit to me that animals that come back every once in a while, they are called tame animals. And they say the Rabbanan answer, no, those are called midbarios, but really he wasn't holding like either of those cheetahs. Why does the Gemara here end off with quoting a Mishnah of Muksa? We haven't spoken about Muksa in a whole perek, right? The whole perek is about Tchum. Why? So the Tzlach just says, I looked around for other answers, I just found this. The Tzlach says, Bederach B'dichusa. Rebbe Dichusa, he says, you know, tongue-in-cheek a little bit. At the beginning of the Masechta, we have Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that Beis Hillel, the Beyantif, Tochal, Lo Tochal, and in the first parak, we have this whole question about whether you're supposed to change the Girsa or not change the Girsa. Are you Mechalef, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel? You don't know who holds what, really. You read some of those Gemaras there, whether when Rebbe Yochanan says Mechlef is Ashita a couple of times. So, says the Tzlach, earlier on Davav, the Gemara said, Beitza imitsiyasa nigmeres. A beitza, as it's nigmar, as it comes out, it's nigmar. So we had four different pshatim, what that means in the Gemara there. But it says the tzlach, maybe it's larames, that beitza, to understand the first mishnah in Maseches Beitza, imitsiyasa nigmara. You'll understand it on its way out. You'll understand to look at the last Mishnah Maseches Beitza, which talks about muksa. So you see, muksa is a problem. So therefore, go back and understand that really our girsa is the correct girsa that Beis Hillel holds lo tocha. So that's his suggestion about Beitza Emis Yasa Nigmar. Okay, we have 2 minutes. Let me just say over one thought that I mentioned in the past, but it's a thought. There's an article by Rav Soloveitchik called "Impromptu Remarks at a Siyum on Maseches Chulin." And there he quotes the Gemara. He says, what does it mean, Pshat in Hadron Allah? Hadron, I'll come back to you. That was very nice. We're going to come back to him. We're going to close the Gemara then. You know, well, when are we going to come back? We should come back before 7.5 years from now. Halavai next Yom Tov, we should look at Maseches Beitza. But what does the Hadron Allah mean? So the Rav explained based on Tosfos and Brachas Daf Yud Aleph. Tosfos there says, why is it that by every other mitzvah, we make a bracha each and every time before we do the mitzvah? And even if we do the mitzvah 6 times, we make a bracha before each time. 10 times a day I go into a sukkah, I make leisha basukkah 10 times a day. But when I learn, I only make a bracha once in the morning. I learn now we're all going to go to work, and then Hashem later on during the day, we're going to learn a little more. I'm not going to make a new berachas haTorah. It's a hefsek. So many different answers given. So Tosfos there says, no, because you're never miyaish daito from learning. Never miyaish daito. It's never out of your head. So what do you mean it's never out of your head? It is out of your head. So Soloveitchik explained, no. He says there are 2 types of awarenesses. In his Lashon, there is latent awareness and acute awareness. And he gives a mashal. He says, let's say children are home with their mother. So he says the mother has acute awareness of the children being home now, acute of their existence. Let's say the children go to school. Children go to school, so they're not home now. But they're always in the back of the mother's mind. There's latent awareness. It's in the brain, just in a different part of the brain. It's not acute awareness, it's latent awareness. So says the Rav, the same thing with Talmud Torah. Right now, our late Maseches Beitza, we are switching from our acute awareness to our latent awareness. That's Hadron Allah. We're going to come back to you. Right now, we're just changing the compartment in our brain where we're putting you. But really, you never leave us totally. Right? If we learn Beitza properly, so then it never really leaves us. Right? So we're just decompartmentalizing it into a different spot. But that's latent awareness. That's Torah. That's Eino Miyayish Daito. It's always in our head. It's always in our mind. It never leaves. So the acute awareness, Baruch Hashem now, starting tomorrow, or this afternoon, is going to be Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Right, so that's next on the list. But that's the Rav's Vart that you could say anytime you have to speak at a Siyum. You got it now. Hadron Allah. What does it mean? And latent awareness and acute awareness. Okay, Hashem, we will stop here. The Siyum Hashem is going to be Shabbos. Just found out, late breaking news. Shabbos will be having a Siyum. And please spread the word. Starting tomorrow, 5 Maseches in 5 months. So everybody should get their friends to join, even just 1 month. Just pick a month. Rosh Hashanah, Tainus, Megillah, Mokah, and Chagigah. 5 months from now till Lag BaOmer, 5 Maseches till the end of Seder Moed, Bez Hashem. So everybody, please feel free to join us. Okay, today's Shia was Lezecha Nishmas, Shmuel Yosef Ben Yecheskel, sponsored by the Gershbaum family. Go ahead. I'm supposed to read the last line. Not supposed to read the last line.